Thank you very much. You know, I have been sitting there for a few months, and I've been really enjoying and blessed by the words of God that have been taught and preached by Pastor Aaron and Pastor Kara. This is a place where God's word is presented as it is. No compromise. We want to speak God's word as it is because it is the word of life. It's the word that will help us to be who Christ wants us to be. So I've been greatly been blessed by the ministry of the word that is in this place. Little by little, here a little, there a little. That's how we are built. And after all these years of preaching, it's no longer knowledge that I want to share to you. It's about life that I want to share with you. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege that we are called your children. Only by your grace, O God, not by anything that we have done. So even as we come to your words, the words of life, we open our hearts to your words, and we want your words, Lord, to take a deep place in each one of our hearts so that we can become all that you have called us to be and empower us to be. Anoint the lips of your servant, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 18. We know that the author is Matthew, and he has focused on the king and the kingdom. And he has said that the kingdom of God is an invisible kingdom. If it's an invisible kingdom, then how is people going to see this kingdom in operation? Or see this kingdom in reality? That this kingdom that we talk about is not a pie in the sky or a wishful belief or a hopeful hope. That this kingdom is real. Jesus said this to the Pharisees, that the kingdom of God is not seen by observation. And he told the Pharisees that in Luke chapter 17, verse 20 to 21, he said this, that the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Not looking here, looking there, cannot be detected by visible signs. And does not come by counting dates on the calendar. Because the kingdom of God is where? The kingdom of God is first in you and among you. When the kingdom of God is in you, it means that the king reigns in you, and you become his citizen. John chapter 14, verse 23 said this, if you hear Jesus, believe Jesus, and accept Jesus, that Jesus, the Son, and the Father will come and what? Dwell in where? In you. That the king reigns in you. The reason why the king reigns in you is so that you can express the goodness of God to others. That people can see Jesus is in you, that God is good, and his goodness is shown in your life. Because Jesus is in you, because he has taken you out of what? He has taken you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Out of being out of bondage to freedom. Once we were rejected by God, but now we are accepted by the king. So God wants the kingdom to be in you so that others can see and testify that Jesus Christ is alive and he is real and he's living in you. But the Bible also says the kingdom is not only in you, the kingdom is where? Among you. Now the word among is used in verse 20. And the word among is that the church is to portray the kingdom of God is here. Remember Israel. God took Israel out of Egypt. They were slaves. God took them and made them his people. So what? So that the nation around can see visibly that these people belongs to God and they live his life and they are blessed by him. And so that these people that is around the neighboring country can see them and say, wow, how good God is. And we want to believe the God that Israel believe. In the same way, the kingdom of God is among us. In the Bible, in verse 20, this is what they say. When two or three are gathered together as my follower in my name or because of me, I am among them. The kingdom of God is among us. Is what? It's the church. The four gospel, only two times is the word church being used. Both is in Matthew. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I want you to know that the church is here to last. The church is here to stay till Jesus returns. Amen. Because he is coming back for who? He is coming back for his church. And the second time when the word church is used is in chapter 18, verse 20. You know, is in chapter 18, verse 17. Tell it to the church. So the kingdom is within you, individual citizen of God. The kingdom is among you, the church. So how we live as individual citizen, and how we live as a church is important, is needed. For we reflect who the king is. How we live can bring honor to the king. How we live can bring good things to his name and also for the king's reputation. I have spoken on his walk, our walk, as a disciple. This morning, I want to speak about his walk, our walk as a church that demonstrates the kingdom of God is among us, a church that demonstrates the righteousness, the life-giving reign of Jesus Christ is among his people in the midst of a perverse and crooked and corrupted world. This is the world we are living in. That's why Jesus always said, we are different from what? We are different from the world. Because he wants to display God's kingdom, his reality, his truth, his life in us. The church is to be the shining light and the infinite sword, declaring that the king reigns among his citizens, among his people. And how we live and how we behave reflect who the king is. So we come to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17. It's a very powerful. Matthew chapter 18. You preach on 17. Miracles, I remember. I was so blessed, sister. I am believing for my miracle. Amen. Matthew chapter 18. Living in the community is my message. The church is a community. The church is a family. And Pastor Aaron has spoken about it many times. We are community, we are family. And the church is not about numbers. It's not about how many you have. It's about a community, a family, a people of God sharing life together. The best picture of the church that Paul has portrayed is the picture of what? The body. That's the best picture of what the church is, the body. Because every part of the body is what? Is needed. Every part of the body needs to be what? Connected. And that's what the church is to be. So if we are to be the church, the kingdom of God is among us, to portray to people who God is, what must we do? We must keep the new commandment that Jesus gave to us. What is the new commandment? Love one another. by this, the world will know, others will know, you are my disciple. Do you know that Jesus gave that command before he prayed for the unity of his people? He gave a command that he prayed. This is how you live, to love one another. So, if you are to live in this community, then I want to share with you, there are three B's, B-E, that you need. Three B. What is the three B? The first one in this chapter is be humble. Be humble. If you look at verse 1 to verse 4, let's read from verse 1 to verse 4. Get it up. Verse 1 to verse 4, we would use the... it's behind me. At the time, the disciple came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of God? I always wonder, who is this fellow who asked this question? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives a little child like this one in my name, receive me. So, the first thing to live in the kingdom is to be humble. Pride is the opposite of humility. And we know that pride is a destructive sin. It's the seven of the deadly sin. It is deceitful and it is toxic. Pride began in the garden when Adam and Eve thinks they know better than God. They think they know more about life and know what is best for themselves than who? Than God who created them. So pride is the downfall of Adam and sin. Pride is the downfall of Saul, David, Hezekiah, Uriah, Peter, and the list still goes on for those people who are fallen by pride. Jesus rebuked his disciples for their pride and desire for worldly greatness. Who is the greatest? Who is most important? Who get the highest rank, the highest honor, the best or the top seat? These are the apostles, the next in line. They are the people who's going to continue to proclaim the kingdom of God. And now they are fighting among themselves. Who is the most important? Who should get the best seat? I wonder who started all this. This inward fighting. This is not the only first time they fought. It was also in Luke chapter 9. Verse 46, and other places. You see, they forgot. They forgot that the way up is not by pulling or pushing others down. This is how the world will do it. But Jesus' way of greatness, Jesus' way of going up is what? Is to lower yourself. Lower yourself to serve others. Here is what Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 to 28. Jesus said, you have observed how the godless ruler throw their weight around, how quickly a little power goes to their head. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a what? A servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That's why the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served. And then to give away his life in exchange for the many who are held hostage. So this is what the Bible teaches us. In the community, the church, we need to be what? We need to be humble. Humility is something that God loves. In fact, Peter said this word, that God receives the proud, but he gives what? He gives grace and more grace to those who are humble. The word oppose, God opposed the proud. The word oppose is a military term that has been used, that you set your soldier against. And it means what? Not just today. The word oppose is in the present tense. That means God will always continue to oppose who? The proud. But he give what? He give grace. He give blessing. He give favor to the humble. Let me ask you, do you want to be proud or you want to be humble? Come on, what would you want to be? You see, the proud eat humble pie. Always good to be what? Humble. And that is so important that when we live as a community, as a people of God together, we need to be what? Humble. Now, I remember in the 20th century, every pastor conference I go to is about leadership. Because leadership grows the church, leadership brings success. So every pastor conference I go to, leadership, leadership, leadership. But you know what was the problem? The problem is that the leadership that taught in the pastor conference is not based on what Jesus' style of leadership. Jesus' style of leadership is what? You become a servant. You humble yourself and you serve others. By so doing, God will what? Lift you up. But all those, you know, conferences that you attend, they brought leadership style that the world uses. Can you understand? When the church follows the way of the world, we will get ourselves into what? Into trouble. That's why we start to see celebrity pastors. We start to see cultures that begin to, you know, instead of serving, become like lords, need to be served. Jesus' way of leadership is always one of what? Be a servant. Be a servant. The pastor is a servant of God. He serves you. It doesn't mean that he carries your bag. Hello? Means he's here to help you. He's here to guide you. He's here to be a blessing to you. God gave grace and more grace to those that are humble. So when they were arguing about who is the greatest, Jesus took a little child, literally a little child, and he said, unless you become like this little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who become as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was not using the little child to teach us to become childish or immature. He was using this little child to tell us that little children are dependent. They are humble, they are innocent, they are very simple. They can just believe what you tell them, you know, and they are easily taught and they are vulnerable. It is important for us when it comes to the things of God, don't say this, I know. Have you ever heard people say, I know? You want to teach them something? I know. Before you could even start, I know. These are the people, they will eat what? Humble pie. Pride will always go before destruction. So the Bible tells us there's a need for us to be what? To be humble. Let it be not just in the church, but also in our workplace, also in our home. You know what our home will be like if husband and wife, fathers and mother, children will all just be a little bit more humble? The place will be a better place. Don't you think so? You see, pride causes all the problem. I'm right, you are wrong. I must have my own way. It is about me. Self-important is the most important. That is all derived from what? From pride. But Jesus said, you need to be humble. This is the commentary on these few verses by R.T. France. He said that a child was a person of no importance in Jewish society, subject to the authority of his elder, not taken seriously except as a responsibility. I think today changed quite a lot. Today, children is no more a responsibility. Now they are like boss. They tell you what they want. You know, I want to be looked after, not want to be looked up to. The world has changed quite a lot. We have to be careful, Christian parents. Children is entrusted to you by God. They are not God, understand? You need to love them, cherish them, and bring them in the way of God. You must not be afraid to tell your child when they are wrong. Discipline them in the rod of love, correction of love. You know, you must not be afraid. And he goes on to explain that Jesus' example who had become radical, and his point clearly, true greatness is found in being little. True importance is being unimpressive. Is it not wonderful? Is it not wonderful? That's how you should live. Because it is very hard to live a life trying to impress people all the time. How many of you realize that? It's very difficult. It's very stressful. I thank God that I don't have to stand here to preach to impress you. I had to hear to preach what the Bible says and share my life with you. You know, and that's what Jesus has put it there. It's so important for us. If we want to live as a community, we want to live together as the people of God, we want to live in the home, in our own physical home. Humility. This morning, be willing to be humble like little children and not prideful or self-made adult. I know I did it my way. Jesus warned that unless you be like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The disciples have to change their way of thinking, their way of doing things, or they will miss it and never make it. So must you. Do not allow pride to rule you. Be humble before the mighty King, and he will what? He will lift you up. If you are proud, he will push you down. If you are humble, he will lift you up. So what do you want to be? I want to be humble because I want God to lift me up. The second key to living in the community is be caring. Be caring. Jesus used the word little 7 times. Little children, little child, little one. So when Jesus used this word little, was he using it as a figure or speech, or was he using it about real, actual little children? I think, thank God that we pray for the little children that is here on a Sunday before we send them to Sunday school. We thank God for the little children. But one thing I want you to know, they don't stay little forever. When Jesus used the word little, figuratively, he was using as an example of humility that we must become little children to enter the kingdom of God. But Jesus also actually used little children, flesh and blood, to remind us what? To remind us that they are precious in the eyes of God. So, because they are precious in the eyes of God, how we see them and how we treat them is important to God. God loves them. If God loves these little children, what must we do? He wants us to become the expression of his love to little children. So we need to what? We need to accept them, receive them, and minister to them, and not cause them to what? To stumble. The world is changing very fast out there. But the church must remain true to God. Say amen today. Some of the little children that you see today may, at a certain time of their life, think that the world is more attractive and they will go to the world. But because the world is changing so fast and the world cannot give them what they want, one day they will come back to where? They will come back to here. They will come back to the church. I have seen it with my own eyes. And when they come back to the church, they will realize that the church is still the safest place to be. You realize that? I mean, on Father's Day, I was blessed that Siang invite one of the boys that grew up here, that left, but came back. He was real big size. Came back with his son. You see, the church must always be a safe place for little children. Say amen. We live in a time where children are abused and the time when children are abandoned. But Jesus said this in verse 6, such a strong word. He said, it's better for you to put a heavy stone on your neck and drown yourself than to cause the little one to what? To stumble. Every uncles and aunties here, brothers and sisters, uncle and auntie here, whether it is your child or not your child, you must treat every child in Grace City Church as your child. Say amen. Because they are precious to God and you represent Him. One day when they are out there and they are struggling, they will remember the uncles and aunties who have loved them and who have been kind to them, who has been good to them, and they will what? They will come back to God's house. That's what Jesus said. The second thing that is so important to live as a church, as a community, is to be caring. To be caring. Now, if we cause a little child to stumble, Jesus said you should not. It is also very sad to cause a brother or a sister to be stumbled. Jesus said that offense will come. People will get offended. You will get offended. Offense will come. But only thing, pray that you are not the offender, say amen. That you are not the one that causes the offense. In fact, Jesus, in this verse, said that if your hand offend, or your eyes offend, or your leg offend, what does it mean? Hand is what you do. Leg is where you walk. It's your conduct. And then he said, your eyes, it's what you see. And how do you judge people? You judge people with your eyes. You see people, you form an opinion about it. Jesus said, if all these things does cause an offense, cut it off. It doesn't mean visibly cut it off. He said that, surrender them to God. And say, God, use my hand. Use my leg. Use my eyes to be a blessing. Use them, God. Let it be used to live for you and for your purpose. Because Jesus again said this in this same chapter. He talk about the lost sheep. He talk about the lost sheep. This lost sheep that Jesus talked about is not unbelievers. Who is this lost sheep? If this whole chapter 18 is about the community, who is this lost sheep? These lost sheep are Christians who have been offended and they decided to stay away or stay home. How many of you know that there are many Christians who are offended that doesn't go to church anymore? How many of you know that? There are a lot of them. But Jesus said this, if you are the cause of the offense, you should go and seek them and reconcile with them and bring them back to what? Back to the community. Because they need the community. They need the community. You know, and it's so important for us to recognize that God sees this sheep precious to him. And when Jesus uses this word, that if you are offended, if you are offended, let me tell you what to do. Kicking and shouting will not help. It's in the Bible. In the same chapter, kicking and shouting will not help. In fact, if you are offended, you decide to shh. You won't say anything, but not, just keep there. Just keep in the heart. Every time I see you, also will not help. If you are offended, you decided to do the disappearing act. And there are people who do the disappearing act. You know, Pastor Aaron? You know, there are people who does that. I'm telling you, it doesn't help. Because all this behavior does not help the Father in shaping us to be like the Son. All this behavior doesn't help maturity. What is maturity? Maturity is to be able to face the offense and grow and learn from the offense. Because we have too many who do not do what the Bible teaches us to do. Because if you look in this chapter, the Bible talks about if you are offended, go to the one who offend you. Tell the person you offend me. And the Bible also talks about it could be a one-sided offense. That person doesn't know that you're offended. How many of you realize that? That person doesn't know your look trouble him. He doesn't know. The fellow is happily enjoying his life, and then you poor fellow stand there at the corner, sucking and saying, "Ooh, you see, why am I there?" Jesus say, in this chapter, if you are offended, go to the person, not go to another person and tell this person and tell that person. That's the problem when many people telling everybody, they don't tell the people who does that to them. Say, go to that person. And when you go to that person, tell them not that. You go there and say, I'm right, you are wrong. I must win, you must lose. No, you go there for only one purpose. You go there for reconciliation and restoration. What about? The Bible even went further. If you cannot go to that person, tell someone. Not tell everyone. Tell someone who is mature enough, who is wise enough, that is able to help you in settling this offense. This is God's way. And you cannot, he said, tell it to the church. And the reason why the church is because the local church has the power to discipline and restore, has the power to bind and loose, has the privilege to pray anything in his name and the promise of his presence. This morning, we need to be a caring community. Say amen. Be caring. When you go out there in the healthcare out there, there is a shortage of carers. How many realize that? But I thank God, in Grace City Church, in 32 years, there is no shortage of carers. I thank God for the people in this church, they always rise up to help. I thank God for that. I mean, Sister May is an amazing lady. She's always have the heart for, you know, those older ladies. Thank God for her. Let's give her a hand. I didn't tell her that, you know. But it's important because the church is about caring one another. You know, the songs, there's a song that's in the world that say, don't tell me how you love, how much you love me. Show it to me. Care about me. We need to be a caring community. Amen. Start to care for one another. You know, when you see someone who is not in church, pray for them. They may be sick. They may be going through struggle. Caring is so important. And let's learn to care for the little ones. I encourage you today after church service, the children running around, go and tell them, you know, lay your hand, put that in your hand, say, God bless you, God, Jesus love you. Say something good to them. Would you do that? Come on. It may shock them. But it's okay. This type of shock is all right. Because they need to hear. They need to hear to know that the church is the best place, a caring place, a loving place, because the kingdom of God is here. And we are here to reflect the King. Now, the last B is be forgiving. I don't know about you. To be healthy, to be happy, you need to learn to what? To forgive. And you also need to be forgiven. How many of you realize that? There is no one perfect except Jesus Christ. All of us need forgiveness. We need forgiveness from God. We need to give forgiveness to other people. And one thing we must not forget. We must not forget. You must forgive yourself. Come on, say amen. This is the hardest part. About forgiving yourself. Because sometimes you can beat yourself so hard and you think that it is the right thing to do, but that's not how God sees it. The world talks about forgiveness. The Bible talks about forgiveness. Psychology, psychiatrists all talk about forgiveness. You say it's good for you and it lower your blood pressure, it increase your white blood cells so that you are able to combat disease and infection. And they say these are all very good. But the Bible teaching of forgiveness is based on this unchanging truth. What is this truth? It's found in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debt as we also have forgiven. Remit and let go of the debt and have given up what? How have we given up? Resentment. That means if I forgive, that means I must let go with my hand and I must let go with my what? With my heart. What is resentment? Resentment is bitterness. I got to let go of my bitterness. I got to let go of my anger. And I got to let go of my hostility. That's what forgiveness means. He said that as I give up resentment against our debtor. Who is the debtor? Those who have offended us or done us wrong. How many realize people are going to offend you? But the Bible says this truth. Even as you forgive others, God forgive what? You. Even as you release others, you are also being what? Released. Forgiveness is part of human experience that we all need to continuously and constantly live. Jesus never say, and the Bible never say that if you do not love others, I will not love you. Never in the Bible. The Bible never said that if you will not help others, I will not help you. The Bible never said that if you do not bless others, I will not bless you. But the Bible is very clear, is this. If you do not forgive others, I will not forgive you. Wow. That's very powerful, don't you think so? The need to forgive others. You know, and of course, if you look at this passage, Peter came to Jesus and he said that, how many times must I forgive my brother that sinned against me? So this whole passage is not about stranger. It's about a brother. It's about the community. How many times must I forgive Ivan? How many times must I forgive Hoping? How many times? I think 7 times is a lot, because the Jewish standard is 3 times. Jesus gave Peter something that shocked him. He said 7 times 70. That day, when Peter stand there, there was no calculator. Cannot use the finger, use the brain. Forgive 490 times. That's a lot. Come on, say with me, that's a lot. You know, now when Jesus said forgive 470 times, he's not asking you to become like an accountant. Sit down. One. Forgive you one. Forgive you two. Forgive you 489 times. Yes, Lord. One more time. One more time. That's it, Lord. No, no. Jesus doesn't mean that. When Jesus said forgive you, forgive 7 times 70 times, it means that you forgive and keep on forgiving till you forget. Till you forget about the offense. Can you realize that? Hello? You want to be a happy person? Be forgiving. Turn to your wife and say, I forgive you. I know she makes you angry. I mean, this is true. You want to be happy? Be forgiving. Don't everything hold. Hold so tight. You know, cannot let go. Please. Don't suffer. Even look at this verse. When Jesus told Peter 7 times 70 times, he must have shot Peter. He must have shot Peter. Because Jesus uses after that a parable about forgiveness. And what was the parable? A parable in that story was about a man who owes another man, and he was not willing to forgive. But he owes who? He owes the king. And the king was willing to what? To forgive his debt. But he will not forgive the other person's debt. So what he did with the person who he did not forgive, he threw him in where? In prison. Do you know that when you throw someone in prison, they cannot earn to pay back their debt? How many of you realize that? So how do you put people in prison? Well, you don't throw people in prison physically. I don't like. Who is the pick of the day? Pastor Aaron. No. You are all so nice. Cannot pick on you. If I don't like someone, how do I put him in prison? I give the person a cold shoulder. I put the person in a cold room. I want nothing to do with that person. I may be seeing that person, but he as if doesn't live at all. And because of that, I have basically cut off. And that person has no way to win me back. How many realize that? Hello? And that's how we put people in the cold room. That's how we put people in prison when we cut people off. But if we are the community, then we need to realize this. When we put people in prison, who do we put in prison? We put ourselves in prison. We put ourselves in prison. And when we are in prison, the only key that can open that prison door is not prayer. It's not prayer. It's what? It's forgiveness. I'm telling you, you want to live a happy life, be forgiving. Be forgiving. And when Jesus said, be forgiving, it does not mean do it only when you're about to die. Do it every day. I was in the hospital twice. I mean, these were two ladies I do not know at all. I was just called to go and help. And these two ladies was two different occasions. Struggling. at the deathbed. And I see their hand. You see, when people are unforgiving, their hand crunch very, cannot let go. I do not know her. I just went to her ear. Must be God's grace to go to somebody's ear who is dying. And just say this word. Please, forgive and let go. I said, you want forgive and let go so that you can live this. There's great power in giving forgiveness. There's great power. I forgive. It is still painful. How many realize that? I'm still suffering with pain. But I have chosen to forgive. It does not matter whether the other party forgive me or not. But for my own sake, I choose to forgive. And it's still painful. There is a healing time, a healing process. One time I was working on a message that I never preached, but I was working on it halfway. The message that I was working was called inner healing. How does God heal your pain? How does God heal your pain? And I came up with four T's. Four T's that heals your pain. Four T's. First is time. Time. Second is tears. Do you know why you are in pain? You cry. It's a good emotion to let go. Third is talk. Sometimes you need to talk to someone. Don't talk to everybody. Go and see Pastor Kara. I recommend you talk. And fourth is the most powerful one you need. You need a touch. A touch from above. That's how you receive inner healing for your soul. Forgive. I let go. I need to be forgive. To be forgiven. And I need to forgive. If I forgive, when I forgive, I do not seek revenge. Say amen. I do not seek to get back. I let go and believe that God is a righteous God. He will reward us accordingly. A married couple has many sharp disagreements over the course of their marriage. 25 years they have been married. Somehow the wife always stay calm and forgiving. On the 25th anniversary, the husband looked at the wife and commended her. Oh, when you are mad with me, how do you restrain yourself? You never fight back. You are so forgiving. How do you do it? And the wife looked at him and said, I work it off. So the man, husband thought, she worked it off. She might have gone to the gym and sweat out. I look at the husband said, no, no, no. I work it off by cleaning the toilet. Oh, that's great. I work it off by cleaning the toilet. And then he turned out to the husband and said, I use your toothbrush. Ever since I heard that, I decided when I come to church, I should bring my toothbrush. But it's so important for us to be forgiving. Say amen. If you cannot remember anything about this message, Don't remember this illustration. If the only thing you can remember, be forgiving, say amen to that. Because chapter 18 is about the community, the church, the kingdom of God among us. And how does the world see the kingdom of God among us? When they see we are humble. We are not here fighting to be number one. We are here to serve one another. Wow, they say, look, that's not the culture that's in the world. Then when they see that we are caring, that we don't look at people and look down at people. Oh, you are rich, you sit in front. You are not so rich, you sit behind. You are important, come here. No, we see everybody, we accept everybody as what they are. Say amen. Because this is how God accepts us. In the same way we love and accept everybody. Then, when we are caring, again I say to you, please, and I know you do, give some words of encouragement to the little children. Sometimes they may be running around. Don't shout at them. Don't get angry with them. Remember, they are also created in the image of who? Of God. Love them, talk to them, be nice to them. And thirdly, if you leave this place and you are not able to say, I forgive, two powerful words, then I tell you, you will never be a happy person. You'll never be. I want to be happy. How many of you want to be happy? Put up your hand. Forgive. People hurt you, sister? Forgive. People hurt you, sister? Forgive. You are a pastor? You need to learn forgiveness because pastor gets hurt. I've been there for 32 years. Forgive. Forgive. Because the end of the day, you answer to God, they also have to what? Answer to God. Come, let's pray. Chapter 18, about we living in the community of God. And how do we live in the community? We need to be humble. Set your mind, your heart to say, God, I want to be humble. I want to serve others. I'm willing to lower myself. I'm not a big boss. I'm not a superstar. I'm not a high flyer. And I'm willing to humble myself to serve others. By humbling yourself to serve, God promised that He is the one that will lift you up. Lord, I set my heart to be caring. I know sometimes it's not easy to love. I know you command me to love, but sometimes it is so difficult, Lord. But I'm sure when you are caring, you will break the hardest heart. Not about how much you talk about love, but how you show by your care. Be caring. Care for one another. Care for one another as an expression of Jesus Christ. And be forgiving. The need to forgive. Don't struggle anymore. Don't stay in the prison. It's not made for you. You are made to walk free. Not to be in chains by unforgiveness. This morning, who do you have to forgive? Don't hold it in your heart. Say this word, I forgive. Lord, I release them just as you forgive me and you release me. Because is only in forgiving others and forgiving yourself that you can live a life free. Would you stand up with me? Would you lift your hand to the Lord and say this word with me? Lord, I want to be humble as you are humble. To be a servant like you. To serve others like you. Lord, I want to be caring. The people that you put before me, I will care like Jesus cared. With words, with kindness, with deeds. And I give my body to you, Lord, that you can use as an instrument to care for others. And Lord, I choose to forgive. I forgive. Now you tell God who you hold in your heart, in your mind, that is tormenting you, that is eating on you emotionally. You tell God, God, I forgive. Name that person and say, God, I forgive. I release them. Say to God, God, I forgive. I release. And I trust in you to do what is right, oh God. Lord, I want to be set free from unforgiveness. Today, God, in forgiving others, I open the prison door and walk as a free person in the power of your Spirit. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Come, let's sing a song.
Jesus be the center of my life.